I'm like your weird kink friend.
Welcome back to Star Squad Pod. I'm Nicole Sweeney.
My name is Marines, and this week we are joined by Lainey Kress.
Hi, my name is Lainey, and I have the YouTube channel Ginger Reads Lainey, where I talk about books and writing. I also run a podcast with Alexa, Dawn, and Kat from Kattytastic, where we talk about the ins and outs of the publishing industry and our writing journeys.
We've invited Lainey this week to do a definitely not an interview. So if you missed the first time around that we did this, essentially we invite a friend of ours over to do a more comprehensive, like, deep dive into their media preferences and things of that nature. And this is the place where I would usually give a synopsis of whatever media thing we are covering, but instead you get a synopsis of my friendship with Lainey. So I joined BookTube 4 years ago now or so. And in 2015, I decided that I wanted to go to Y'all Fest, which is an event, just about meeting authors, all focused around young adult literature. And I think I was tweeting about, like, wanting to go, and Sam from Thoughts on Tomes, who has also been a guest a number of times, reached out to me and was like, hey, we have a free space in our room. Do you want to join? And I had never met Sam. And I also, like, knew I didn't know who else I would be rooming with, but I was like, sure, great. I'm a joiner and I like friends. So I showed up to Charleston and stayed in this room with Sam. And Lainey was one of the people that were also in the room. Yeah, I think that's how we kind of started to become friends. And since then, this group of friends has, like, always traveled to events together. And we have our long-running chat that we talk about anything and everything in. And that, I don't know, I think that sums it up. Lainey?
Yeah, I think... We were just vacationing together a couple weeks ago.
Yes. So definitely went from, like, we know each other from BookTube to we go to events together. And now we're like, family vacation? Yes, let's do it.
Okay. So I guess the place to start then is with BookTube, since that is how you guys know each other first and foremost. What kinds of things do you typically talk about on your BookTube channel?
Well, I started a lot with young adult fiction. I am a young adult fiction writer, so it was very important for me to read as much as I could in that age category to better write it. But now I've since, like, moved away from that just a little bit over the past couple years, because I don't want to review what could potentially be my peers's work. So, but I have leaned very heavily into the romance category as of, like, the past year and a half, and I review a lot more romance books on my channel now.
As far as your, like, media consumption goes, would you say that, like, books are your go-to medium, or are you, like, more of a TV person? Like, what is your go-to media?
I'd almost say that TV and movies are probably my go-to media. That's where I get my most inspiration from as a writer, is definitely from movies.
Well, that's interesting. What kind of inspiration do you typically get from movies for your writing?
Well, okay, so I'm, like, a self-proclaimed action movie enthusiast. I love all the action movies. I love all the bad action movies, or what people think are bad action movies, I will secretly love. And there's just something, like, super fun about them. And just, I consume media, just not even with reading, but also with movies, as an escape. So I like falling into a story, mostly visual, for, like, 2 hours or an hour and a half, whatever, and kind of be swept up in that world. So I find inspiration mostly through tropes, but also situations, and sometimes I do settings. Like, I've written a few action-y books based off of some of my favorite, like, teen flicks and stuff, and, like, switching them around and making them a lot more action-y.
I know the answer to this question, because this is something that Lainey is not necessarily shy or quiet about, but why don't you tell everybody else what your favorite action-y, bad but not bad movie is, because I feel like the people need to know.
Well, okay, I'm thinking of two right away. Like, well, the first one is The Mummy. Is that the one you wanted me to mention first?
Yes.
The Mummy.
You own The Mummy t-shirts, so I think that, you know, you should start there.
I'm not even lying when I say I'm wearing it now. It's just so good and fun, and like Brandon Fraser was at his peak, and it's just so good. It's funny because like that movie and Raiders of the Lost Ark were the reason why I was an anthropology major for a half a semester. And I also was trying to get my museum studies certificate because I wanted it to be exactly like Evie from The Mummy.
What is the other one that came to mind?
The Fast and the Furious movies.
Mm. Oh, duh. Oh, this is great. I've been trying to get Nicole to commit to watching those movies for the podcast. So now we can like team up and convince her that they are worth viewing because they're just so much fun and
they're
not
so
bad
much
and
fun.
I definitely have seen the first few Fast and Furious movies, but I don't know, for some reason like they just didn't like hook me. I didn't have a strong nostalgia for them. I am, however, committed to watching Hobbs and Shaw, okay? So that's like progress.
It looks so extra, but I'm so excited.
So is The Mummy like one of those favorites that you can deep dive into? Or is it one of those ones, like if people ask you like, why do you like it, that you have trouble expressing feelings over or like explaining why you love it?
No, I can talk deep dive into it. I've seen this movie and like, not even joking, probably about, I would say over like 75 to 100 times over the course of however, when I was like, I think I was 9 when I first saw it at my Nana's house. And I was just like in love. Like, I love adventure. And like, that's like the perfect movie for an adventure. I mean, is it historically accurate? No, but it's like the adventure of it. And like the romance is good. Even like the comedy is good. It's just like all these really great genres in one movie done very well with really great characters.
What is the most out there thing that you think that, you know, people who watch this movie, have seen this movie maybe once or twice, don't pick up on, but you with your 75 to 100 viewings of this film, like what's the, you know, that many layers deep thing about The Mummy that you think that people should know and appreciate that we should carry with us into our next viewing of The Mummy?
I honestly think the characters are deeper than people think they are. Like when you first watch it, you're like, oh yeah, it's funny. And you got the comic relief character, you got like the pretty girl, and you got like the action hero. But like deep down, they're like, there's really a lot of great character development in the story. And I think a lot of people don't get that on the first watch through because it is an action movie. It's a huge classical summer Hollywood blockbuster.
So are you in general like a big rewatcher, reconsumer of stuff?
Movies and TV more than, I don't know, movies period more than anything else. I'll rewatch. I just rewatched like 3 movies I've seen like several times yesterday.
Sounds like a great Sunday to me.
For the stuff that you like go back to again and again and keep rewatching, like what is it specifically that pulls you back and like makes those things that you want to keep consuming over and over again?
It's mostly a feeling that I got. Like, I'm always like, there's so many parts in like The Mummy, for example, where I'm like so excited to get to this certain scene because I just like love how it was written, or I love how it was shot, and I like experiencing that over and over again. And then I always pick up something that I never picked up before when I watched it. Cause like even in like The Mummy, for example, like there's something I like saw last year when I was watching it, because I watch it several times a year. I'm not even kidding. And I'm probably going to watch it again on Sunday. But I learn something new every time I rewatch it. And it's either like some exposition that I didn't get the first 68 times I watched it, or something in the background that I didn't notice before. I like analyzing stuff several times over.
Do you think The Mummy has any influence on like the media that you like now, or even your writing or your writing style?
I wrote a book that's inspired by The Mummy.
So a big yes.
Yes. It's on the back burner right now, but I literally wanted to write something that like took place like a journey, a road trip adventure story with romance and with funny dialogue and this like ancient prophecy type thing. And yeah, I was totally inspired by The Mummy. And I do that with like a lot of the movies that I really love. But also like with TV and tropes, whenever I hear like a book's being released that's like a desert road trip adventure, I'm like, I need to buy that because that reminds me of The Mummy. Don't know how accurate it would be, but people are traveling. I want to read it.
There are mummy vibes. Lainey is there. Aside from The Mummy, are there any other major media touchstones that were formative for you in your sort of like coming of age years?
Buffy.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, I'm like currently rewatching the fifth season right now, but yeah, that was like a huge part of my like preteen. I got all the books, the magazines, I would watch all the shows. I used to play the violin. I got the sheet music and played it on the violin. Like I was pretty obsessed with Buffy.
You're also doing a whole like YouTube rewatch of Buffy right now, right? Yes.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Just one more thing on the long list of things.
Season 4 is being hosted on my channel. I took one for the team, but that's okay.
This is like flashing me back. So I did not really remember this thing, but I think one of the first like videos that Lainey and I filmed together. When we're together, we usually do some sort of like fun collabs or whatever, but we did a Buffy tag. And mm-hmm. I remember sitting on the couch, Lainey and Sam and I think another person, but I can't remember right now, but we were answering the questions and Lainey and I just looking at each other and agreeing about like probably nothing. Our Buffy opinions are so not the same. Lainey and I don't agree on a lot of media things, I think. Yeah. And that's a part of the, I don't know, it's fun because we usually will be sitting there and I'll be like fuming about something and she just kind of shrugs and says, I liked it, the kind of thing. So also key to our friendship is literally not agreeing on most things.
Yep. Because I know we have very fast different opinions on Spike.
Yes. Primarily. What I'm getting at here is primarily Spike. But also, yep. I think that we came to this thing. I mean, I don't know how different your experience is now rewatching it. But this was formative for you, whereas I watched this for the first time as an adult. And I watched it specifically to critique it, right? I watched mm-hmm. it very closely. So I think our two experiences of coming to Buffy are very different. But also in general, like the tropes and things that we like are generally not the same.
What are some of your favorite tropes, Lainey?
I really like slow burn romances. I love, like, there's only one bed.
Oh, no.
We both got to sleep.
Yep. They do that in movies a lot, and I live through those scenes. I also like enemies to lovers. That's probably one of my favorites, thanks to Buffy and Spike.
enemies to lovers, there's only one bed. Like, you can combine a lot of this stuff too, which is even better.
Yeah, when all three happen in like the same book, it's just like the best thing I've ever read. I also really like banter. Really good banter and dialogue mm-hmm. is key.
This is completely changing the subject, but what is I just was thinking about the fact that the example that Mari gave was her fuming about things and you saying I liked it. Which, you know, I'm curious, what was the last thing that you hated?
I can talk all day about how much I hate Damon Salvatore from The Vampire Diaries.
We agree on this one, though. We totally agree on this one.
Like, when I think, like, who do you hate the most in television? It's always going to be Damon. I hate him. Which is surprising because he is considered, I guess, a bad boy. And those are like the type of characters like I gravitate towards in TV and film, but there's just something about him that I like absolutely cannot stand in a character.
Do you know like what it is about him? Are there specific things about him that jump out at you as reasons that you can't stand him?
I think mostly it's has to go back to the actual writing of the character. Mm. I often find the writers, because I know the writers loved Damon, and they often like made other characters act out of character to advance his storyline, and like could not stand that. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like, and you know that they're just like that pushing that Damon agenda on you, and I so pissed
okay,
about it.
But to be clear, this is part of my issue with Spike.
Yes.
What?
absolutely none of his redemption made sense. It was an agenda from the beginning.
An agenda. I do not accept the Spike agenda.
I don't know. See, like, when I, like, introduced to Spike, I was 11. So sure. I don't know.
Fair.
If that really skewed it. But, like, so I was, like, 17 when the Vampire Diaries premiered. So I was a little bit more grown, and I saw right through that Damon bullshit.
I will not be played by you, show.
I also just have to mention on the subject of things that Lainey hates, your most popular video on YouTube is...
My Drunk Allegiant by Veronica Roth review. I haven't watched that video in like maybe 2 years, but the last time I did watch it, I was like, I'm not very drunk. Like, people were like, oh, you're so funny drunk. But, like, now I can recognize, I'm like, I'm barely tipsy in that video. Like, what was I doing?
You're just angry. You're existing off of it.
You are, in fact, drunk on rage.
Yeah. Because I remember when I filmed that, like, I was at a Mexican restaurant with some friends, and it was like a Wednesday night, and Wednesday nights you always get like drinks really cheap there. So I'm just like, load me up. And then by the time I got home, I'm like, it's a good time to film that video.
We have talked previously on the podcast about the ways in which talking about media a bunch gives you like a brand around the things that you love and hate. So like this Allegiant review being your most popular, or perhaps, you know, one or two things that you particularly love. But is there something like recent that you haven't, you know, maybe had as much time to tell people about how great it is, but is there something recent that you particularly loved?
Yeah, I think there's actually a few things that I haven't really talked yet on my channel about how much I really loved it, but I really loved the Aladdin movie.
And yes.
I was not expecting to, because like I'm the hugest Aladdin fan. Like that was my favorite Disney movie growing up. I mean, can it be a surprise? It takes place in the desert. It's like the Mummy. But I had such low expectations going into the live action because I thought I was gonna hate it, but I loved it. I've seen it twice already in theaters and there's been like no regrets.
I also have seen this twice, and I've talked to Nicole about how much I've enjoyed it, and I am going to write up something to share about my enjoyment of this movie. But anyway, the point is that I like was looking up reviews and stuff to kind of read through what other people had thought and form my own thoughts, and I could not, like, most of it is still negative. Some people are saying that it was like not as bad as they thought it would, but I cannot find other people that have shared the love of this thing that I have. But it was just so delightful. It was, maybe yeah. It was because I also went in with low expectations, and I also loved Aladdin originally, like the cartoon when it first came up. But I thought that it was just so charming.
It was so good. It made me smile the whole time I was watching it.
Are you more often in the position of, I loved this thing and I don't understand why everybody hated it, or I hated this thing and I don't understand why everybody loved it? Like, which is an experience that you think you have had more often?
Definitely, I love this and I don't understand why people hate it. I have examples. So I know that this movie was universally panned, yet I have the Blu-ray. I still watch it. And that's Van Helsing. Like, I know it's like horrible, but I love it. I can't help it. I go into a movie, I go into anything wanting to enjoy it. I'm not really super critical when it comes to watching or even reading things. Again, relates back to the escapism for me. So if I'm enjoying myself while I'm watching or I'm reading it, I'm not going to hate something. Like, I rarely hate things.
When you do have the experience of like hating things. So Nicole and I have also talked a lot about this idea of, obviously, like, everything is subjective, even like quality, what is good versus bad. That's like your personal opinion. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, you know,
yeah.
Regardless of, you know, what you study and how much you consume, that at the end of the day is a personal opinion. So anyways, we've had a lot of like discussion over these things. And then this idea that for me, a lot of times, even when I'm reading for escapism, like I can't turn off the part of my brain that is also looking at craft. So like in a book, I want to enjoy it, but I cannot enjoy it if I feel like the writing is not done well. Like, that is something I can't necessarily divorce from my experience. Mm-hmm. So when you absolutely hate a thing, are you like noticing craft? Are you noticing characters? Are you noticing plots? What are the things that stand out to you?
I do notice things that are inherently wrong with the story. But when it comes to like rating books on like Goodreads or something, I'm always leaning more towards, but did I enjoy it? And if I enjoy it, I'll tend to rate it higher while still recognizing the things I didn't like about it.
But what are the things that tip that for you? Like, is there something? So if you tend to enjoy things more often than not, what are the things that will tip it into the I didn't really like this territory for you? I didn't enjoy this.
Probably the writing, just because I'm a writer myself. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more hypercritical about how something is written. But also character motivation also tends to sometimes make me rate a book lower or not enjoy it as much. If it's taking me out of the story, that's a problem, a sign that usually something's wrong with the story and I really can't put my finger on it.
So we've talked a little bit about your favorite genres, kind of tangentially. You mentioned that you started out talking about YA and then you've moved into romance more and that you love sort of action movies. Are there any other sort of favorite genres that we haven't talked about? I guess TV, we've only kind of hinted at some of the TV that you love. What are your favorite genres of television show?
I really like crime shows. I really like true crime documentaries. Anything that has to do with like conspiracy theories or...
Oh my gosh.
Maddie's like, oh great.
No, I just totally forgot that this is a thing about you. Please do go on.
And okay, so I live alone, and sometimes when I'm like binging like true crime docs after true crime docs, I get like kind of paranoid because yes. I'm like, why am I watching about all these like women getting kidnapped when I live alone? And like, this is like such an obsession for me that when I moved into my current apartment, I made sure I didn't get the ground floor because I'm like, someone's gonna break into my house like through the windows. I need to be up where no one can get at me. Like, I love true crime, but I don't think that like if I'm in that position, I wouldn't remember nothing of what I've learned the past so many years. I've been watching all these documentaries. I'd get kidnapped.
Lainey, you're a Ravenclaw as well, correct?
Yeah.
So one time Nicole described me as having knowledge FOMO. And I feel like this applies to you in a lot of things as well. So another thing that we've done in our little friend group is talk about like who we are as Game of Thrones characters. And there was some back and forth. Obviously, like it's not a perfect fit, but we were universally like sure that Lainey is the Varys in our group. She is. She loves to know things. She loves to research things. If there is a YouTube hole that you can fall down into, like Lainey will fall down into it. And I think like hearing you talk about like true crime, I wonder if that also comes from like this like knowledge FOMO place where like there's a story out there and you want to know, even though you're like, why am I watching this? But you can't help yourself.
Yep. I mean, well, that's all the only reason why I read 50 Shades of Grey, because everyone was... Like, I read it the week that the movie rights were sold, and I'm like, why is everybody talking about this book? And then I made the mistake of, like, reading all three books during finals week, so regrets were made that week. But, like, when people are talking about stuff, like, I have to know everything about it. Like, I need to know the drama, I need to know the background, I need to know what everybody's saying about it. I'm just weird like that.
What are some of your favorite... I don't know if this is going to put you too much on the spot, but what are some of your favorite like conspiracy theories or like true crimey things to investigate? I know that you watch a lot of YouTube videos on this stuff. I've seen her like history on her watched videos on YouTube.
Well, that's a serious friendship.
So what are some of your favorite things YouTube related that you'll like fall into that hole?
I really like celebrity death conspiracies. Princess Diana, they're like, that was not an accident, and I'm like, I firmly believe that. Or like the Bermuda Triangle, like what is going on there? And then I want to reiterate this, I don't believe in this conspiracy theory, but it's interesting to think about, and that is the flat earth theory.
Oh my god, Lainey. I just I work for a company that makes educational YouTube videos, and like the fact that people are out here watching flat earth videos is like basically like that's like our professional nemesis. Like we're out here trying to make ourselves as appealing as the flat earth videos without also lying to people. So
but like I said, I don't believe it, but it's interesting to think about.
Lainey, you're giving these people, you're telling the algorithm to push this content on more people.
It goes back to the Varys thing. I have to know why people believe this.
This came up organically at the last time that Lainey and I were together. Like she started, was like, you know, I don't believe it, but it's really interesting. And I was like, I did the same thing. I was like, Lainey. And then she started sharing some of the, I don't know, it was really wild. But I sat there in the background talking about how there were like pictures of the earth.
The thing about the flat earth conspiracy that kills me like most of all is the level of cooperation, like without any motivation, like the high level, the governments of multiple nations are collectively agreeing to lie to people about this thing for like truly, like I don't know, I just like the whole Cold War, like both like why did no side come out and say, you know, the other side's lying to you about the earth being round. Like I just like we are like considering nuking each other kind of on the daily, but don't worry, we're still in this this earth thing. Like what?
But I do believe the earth is round. That's I feel like that's important to put out.
Yes.
There.
Yes, okay, back to that point.
I agree that it was important that we returned to this point. Made it abundantly clear. The earth is fucking round. Is it just this need to know things? Or like, is there anything else about conspiracy theories? Like, what is it that draws you in?
It's part of the need to know, but also like, I just want to believe that things are like always how they appear, or like I'm a ball of anxiety constantly, obviously.
But I can confirm that she's really fun at parties, so.
That is interesting though, because it's basically like the ways that you have talked about media so far. You started out with using media as an escape from your anxiety. You're either like big explosion action movies and romance novels to escape from your anxiety, or you're feeding it with true crime and conspiracy theories.
This is why every Sunday you watch all of the movies you love and then prepare yourself
for a week for of week absorbing. Yeah. Amazing.
I feel like I'm learning a lot about myself in this podcast.
I have kind of a specific question, but I'm curious. If you could tell us your favorite book that you read this last year, 2018, and your least favorite book that you read in 2018.
Okay, so I think my favorite book that I read last year was A Torch Against the Night by Saba Tahir. Because her writing is just chef's kiss.
Is that romance?
No, it's a YA fantasy.
Okay.
And that's the last book, right, in the series?
No, this is the second one.
Second, okay.
Yep. I just, the writing and the way that she developed the characters and the plot were like, I was envious as a writer, the ways that she crafted that whole book. My least favorite book was definitely American Queen by Sierra Simone. That's a romance. And I was just, that one had like the most awkward sex scene I have ever read. I was confused.
By the sex scene or by the story as a whole?
The sex scene. I was just wondering like how that was working out and like... it was just really uncomfortable too. Like it didn't make me feel any good. I was just like clenching my entire body the entire sex scene. It was not hot.
I just looked this up on Goodreads and it has like a 4.15 rating on Goodreads.
I know. People love it because people love the author too. And I think I just started out with the wrong one of her books, but I know a lot of people love this series, but like I couldn't do it. I didn't like it. There was some like weird like incest in there too that like I was not down with. But she also... I need to read her book that's about a priest.
Okay. You're bringing it up, so I'm going to bring it up.
Yeah, we're giggly. Well.
We're giggling because Lainey has taught me so much about romance, like, subgenres and tropes or whatnot. But one of her favorites is priest romances.
Yeah, well, like, okay, I call it, like, clergy smut. Like, just...
I mean, A-plus name, for sure. Yeah. I love that.
There's just, like, I don't know. Like, I guess I also really like forbidden... the forbidden trope, and there's just like something, I don't know, kind of sexy about like a priest. Like not so much a priest, but like a priest like breaking his vows to be with someone. That's kind of sexy to me. Not like I would want to experience that, obviously, because no, but like, again, like escapism, I can read about that, not wanting it in my own life.
Yeah, all of that makes plenty of sense to me. Like the idea of somebody making a great sacrifice for love, like that, I totally get that. And the forbidden thing is also like a lot of romance is about giving people a space to like explore ideas and themes sexually that are otherwise like uncomfortable, or, you know, like you don't necessarily know like what is appealing, or, you know, and like fiction is a space to like think about that at least. And so like all of that, yes, the idea of like the forbidden, it would not have occurred to me that like this is a whole category, but hearing you say it, I'm like, yes, duh, of course it is.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get into like the priest kink, I guess, until like I was watching it, because I was watching The Borgias on Netflix, the one with Jeremy Irons in it, and like the son, he's like a cardinal in like the Vatican and all that, and I'm like, he's so like good looking that I was like getting really into like him having his little affairs and stuff, and I'm like, I would want to read something like this. So then I kind of sought it out book wise.
Again, it makes sense to me too. We always laugh because I feel like Lainey just introduces us to these things, but yes, yeah. It makes sense because romance novels, like in general, are, you start at this place of like what's keeping the two main characters apart, and I don't know, I took a vow not to have sex is a big fucking thing to keep two people apart.
Right.
So like, yeah, I get that.
Built-in obstacle.
I love finding like that weird stuff in romance to like kind of seek out and read. I'm also like looking at like what I read in 2008. And I noticed that I reread Transcendence, Maddie.
Okay, the last book that Lainey recommended to me was also
a romance. I never recommend books to her because I know she's not going to like them. Anything I recommend, she's not going to like.
I get a rap for like not liking a lot of things, but I just like good things. I'm sorry. Anyway, she would not stop talking about this one book while we were on vacation, and she kept trying to explain it to me. So, I mean, I'm going to explain it to you now, and it's going to sound terrible, but essentially,
right, it sounds so bad.
A woman, like a modern woman, gets sent back into like, I don't know how far back it is, but it's like one step behind like modern humans. So he's a caveman basically, and so they don't share language, and so she gets sent back in time, and he finds her and immediately starts thinking about like, oh, this is my mate, I gotta put a baby in her, essentially. And so the whole story is about like her navigating, just so we're not getting any wrong ideas, the first word she teaches him is no, and he learns the word no very quickly. But the listening to the premise back, I'm like, okay, that sounds weird. And it is very weird. But I think that it was compelling in a weird way that I did not expect it to be. I rated it 3 stars on Goodreads, and Lainey was like, yes!
A victory.
I was very proud to recommend that book to you.
So you reread it in 2018?
I honestly think I've read this book like 3 times because the audiobook recently came out and it was on Scribd. And that was back in 2018. And I'm like, well, I'm going to listen to a hot guy narrate this. So I listened to it. And yeah, I like it. And then like it hits you like towards the end. And I was like getting kind of misty and like It's just really good.
The power of hot guy voice.
And also, Lainey said that it's a great fantasy for anybody who wants somebody who will take care of them but not talk to them too much.
Yep. Like, all he wants to do is, like, hunt and, like, provide for his mate. And I'm, and like, but he can't talk to her. And I'm like, that's, like, the ideal guy, right?
Lainey, we really are learning so much about you.
I think, so I was trying to think about why this is, like, more compelling than you would expect it to be. It's still really freaking weird, but it's more compelling than you expect it to be because there's no dialogue at all. You get the you get the story from his point of view. So a lot of times the girl's in the background and he's just like, she's making a lot of noises at me. And you can't help but think, like, what would I be saying in that situation? How would I be reacting? What could she be possibly telling him? And something about that, like, gets you hooked deeper than you would expect to be on the surface when somebody tells you this is a caveman modern woman romance.
Because what I would expect is very little.
Exactly. That is also true.
Continuing on this theme, we sort of got off in, like, a whole other direction, but picking back up the favorites from 2018, what were your favorite and least favorite movies that you saw last year?
Okay, so I can't really think of any, like, least favorite movies of 2018 that, like, had this stronger reaction to me from 2019, and that was Endgame. I was really, really disappointed in that movie. Obviously, there were parts that I really liked, and I did cry a couple times, and, like, the action scenes fed into my, you know, action lover heart. But, like, overall, I really hated the storyline and, like, the some of the decisions that they were making there. That's been my least favorite movie I've seen in a while that, like, garnered this much of a reaction from me.
Were there any specific, like, storylines or any specific pieces that you can share with us that were, like, that gave you such a strong reaction?
Yeah, so I thought the timeline or the time travel timeline storyline was done really poorly. And I don't really like a lot of time travel media anyway. I just think it's kind of confusing and I think too much and I come up with all these things like, well, what if that happened and blah, blah, blah. So I don't really like those kind of stories, but I didn't like that Black Widow died for Clint, who was, like, straight up murdering people for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I didn't like, this is, like, the most I hated was how they treated Thor. They could have done something really special. The fact that he was extremely depressed, but they made almost, like, a joke out of it. And, like, he ended up being kind of, like, the punching bag for all those jokes when he came back into the picture. Especially, like, all the fat jokes. As someone who is, like, plus size, I'm just like, that's kind of tiring. But everybody's laughing in the theater but me. Mm-hmm. So I just hated how they treated someone who was plus size, plus was obviously clearly depressed, and just, like, kind of made him a joke. I hated that. But, I mean, there's obviously parts I really loved. Like, I loved when all the women superheroes came to, like, Spider-Man's defense.
But it was hard, though. Like, even that moment, we did a whole episode on Endgame, so I don't want to, like, rehash all of our feelings about it. But I was also fuming after Natasha's death. Also, you know, had all those feelings about Thor. But, like, Natasha's death, I was, like, seeing red and was, like, in my body, I could feel it rage, you know, like, all my whole body was, like, rage when that happened.
Right.
And it, you know, it took
it just
me, like,
made me so mad.
Yeah. I mean, it took me, like, 20 minutes to, like, get over that. And then so by the time that the movie delivered that moment of, you know, all these female superheroes, I was like, oh, you know who should fucking be here right now? And then I was, like, mad again. So I think I ultimately came down on the side of liking that movie. But it was, like, a very, very complicated, like, so yes. And, like, all the things that you're saying that you hated, I'm like, yes, I get that.
It's also really interesting because, you know, thinking about, like, the last movie that you disliked and landing there, I get that feeling too, because I feel like when I finished watching it, there were things I enjoyed and things I didn't like, but the things that I didn't like have lived stronger in my feelings. Right. And when I think back on it, like those negative things are just more present. Like that, I don't know when the next time, if ever, I will watch this movie, because all of that negative reaction just kind of outlived any of the positive stuff.
Yeah, and it's also 3 hours. Like, I don't have time for that.
A lot of time. Uh-huh.
To just be mad again, at least two to three like major times. I clearly know that you like to talk about books and writing, you know, on YouTube. Books a little more before, and now you do more writing videos mixed in there as well. And obviously, every time we're together, we talk about everything, but we talk about books a lot every time we're together. But do mm-hmm. you like do the same things with TV and movie? Are those things that you want to like discuss and getting in conversations about, or are they more things that you just watch and keep to yourself?
I do want to discuss them more on my channel, but they're always like my least viewed content on my channel. So the last TV video that I did didn't even break like 1,000 views. So I'm like, okay, people really don't give a shit of what I'm watching. But I try to like sprinkle it in with my writing vlogs, like what I'm currently watching and what I'm really enjoying. But I don't do like individual videos anymore on them.
Speaking of TV, any major like TV highlights from the last year and a half? Favorites, least favorite?
Yeah, I'm trying to get more into television shows and catching up on them and watching like series that are already completely out. The three that stick out in my mind are Good Girls. I really love that show. And I think that's just so smartly written. It's just a great show.
It's a genuine surprise.
Yeah.
I went into it with very low expectations and was surprised by how charmed I was by it.
Yeah, I really love that show. And then I recently watched The Society on Netflix, and I really loved that show. I thought it was also a surprise. Like, I wasn't planning to watch it at all until like Liz in our chat, Maddie, said that we should watch it. I'm like, okay, I'll give this a shot. And then like I fell so deep into it. Like, I binged it in 2 days. It was a show that I was like thinking about long after I finished it, like thinking of theories for season 2 and everything like that. It was really great.
It's like a soapy teenagery show. Yes.
Yes.
Kind of. But okay. Like, it's really kind of like Lord of the Flies.
Our former Snark lady, Sarah, who co-founded Snark Squad, messaged me about this show and was like, you watched The 100, right? You should watch this show.
Yeah.
That's like the whole context that I have for this show.
Yeah, it's like The 100. It's like Lost. It's like Lord of the Flies, all with teenagers in it. It's really cool. I loved it. Of course, I love the most problematic character on the show, but
I started to watch it with everybody else in the group chat, and I think I made it through like half of an episode, not because it was like bad or anything, but because it was stressful in the way of like teenagers making bad decisions was stressful at that point. I was like, I don't know if I can watch this, but it would be 100% a show that I could see us either talking about on the podcast or recapping. Because it had that sense of like sitting down with it and like that same like stress over these kids making bad decisions, like railing against that in a post. I could totally see that.
Oh, yeah. And like once you get like the end of like episode 3, I'm like, I can't stop watching this show now. No sleep for me, because it really picks up after the 3rd episode. Mm. And then the other show I'm currently watching right now is Lucifer.
Mm.
That show I did not think I'd like, because I remember seeing it being advertised like the first season, and I'm like, that show's not gonna last, that looks so stupid.
It's only like the 4th season now, right?
Yeah, like it got canceled on Fox, it switched over to Netflix, and I decided to start watching it there. And I'm telling you, like, the first episode will like hook you in, because they don't realize, or maybe they do realize, but they're tricking everybody, that they wrote a paranormal romance in like a comedy cop drama. But it's literally a paranormal romance, because the two characters are, it's like slow burn forever and ever. And there's like all these beats and tropes that follow like a paranormal romance setup. But it's just with less nudity. It's literally True Blood with like less nudity and on like cable TV.
Twilight with devils.
But better. And like you're watching the first episode and you're like, well, shit, I stan Satan now. Like,
I didn't know it was going to come to this, but here we are.
Yep. Now I need some Satan smut and then I'll be good to go.
Any TV shows you tried and were like, nah, this is not for me?
I tend to watch everything. I'm trying to, like, if I drop off something, I always try to give a TV series, 7 episodes, and then if I don't like it, then I'll stop watching it. But that hasn't happened to me in a while.
How about a book? How long will you give it?
I always try to finish a book. I can't remember the last time I DNF something. Like, I just, my brain is like, you need to put that on Goodreads to say you read it, and it won't count if it's like on there and you haven't read it yet. So no. Yeah, I haven't DNF'd a book in a really long time. But I also been reading romance, and like, you can like bang one of those out in like a day if you're like listening to it on 2 speed on Audible.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you completionist talk this over because I'm like, yeah.
I was just gonna say, I feel that like deep in my soul.
Yeah, because it's like, if it's sitting on my Goodreads list and it's like half done, and I'm like, well, that didn't really count as a book I read because I didn't really finish it. So my brain won't let me do that.
I'm curious now, I don't know why being a completionist made me think of this, but how do you find things to like read or watch? How are you usually like lining things up or deciding where to go next?
With books, I think my Goodreads emails, I don't know if you guys get them in the morning, like it's like all your friends have read all these books. So I like scroll through and I write down things that I think I'll like. And then sometimes there's like one reviewer that usually hates everything that I really love. So I always go to her and I'm like, what is she one star recently?
Is it me?
There's that one reviewer. Yeah.
She's like, I one starred this romance book because of blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, those are all things that I'll probably really love.
One star, it only had one bed. And Lainey's like, yes.
I feel like TVs and mostly TV, because I feel like movies, yeah, I don't know. I feel like movies are just like a totally different beast for some reason. They're easier to find maybe than television shows. But television shows, I kind of go through what people are talking about on social media, mm-hmm. or what sometimes will pop up on like the recommended on Hulu or on Netflix. I don't actively try to like find people that are like watching the same stuff I am.
Mm-hmm. So you make BookTube videos. So you obviously like talking about books, and you said that you like, you do like talking about TV. Like, what are the spaces, and maybe the answer is just BookTube, but what are the spaces where you do find sort of community around your media consumption?
Probably my friends. I think I discuss mostly TV shows and movies with my friends. I also buddy watch a lot of TV shows with some friends. So we're always constantly talking about that or the movies we watch. So I kind of feel like a really good sense of community through them.
Mm-hmm. This is making me remember that we also have, we had varying opinions on the last season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And I think, Lainey, you ended up liking it?
Yeah, see, okay. Listen. I think this feeds right back into, like, escapism and, like, just watching it to enjoy it. Like, yeah, I recognize some things and there are some things I didn't like about it, but I just wanted to sit back and enjoy it. Like, I couldn't. The very last episode, I deleted my Twitter from my phone because I'm like, I don't want to go on Twitter to see like what people are saying about it after I watched it, because I just kind of want to enjoy it for me. And I think that's like something that we've all had to get used to, is like having our opinions shared so widely, but also consuming a lot of other people's opinions and wanting mm-hmm. to form stuff really quickly. So I like had to like step away from social media at that point because I'm like, I don't want anybody's outside influence influencing me. I just want to enjoy it for what it was. But like now it's been like, what, a month and a half since the last episode aired. There were some problems with it. I can recognize it now. But like overall, I enjoyed it.
I feel like we were all like, Lainey was like, I'm deleting Twitter. So we just bombarded the private chat like, Lainey, it's terrible. She was like, leave me alone.
Yeah, leave her alone. Oh, man.
I think season seven was more fun to be participating in like Twitter and stuff, because some like great memes came from out of season seven. But and that was like my first experience with watching it live, with season seven, because I didn't jump into the Game of Thrones train until half between season six and season seven. So I binged.
Oh, wow.
All the seasons before season seven premiered.
I mean, I feel that. I talked to Mario about this, too, actually, that there was a point in this last season where Twitter just got to be genuinely unpleasant. And I there were many things that I also actively disliked about season eight, but it was just like I was sad about it. And then like it would get on on Twitter, and then I would feel more sad about it. And I was like, this isn't, I'm not enjoying this. I'm not enjoying talking about how upsetting this is. Like, now I'm just sad. So I don't really want to do this. I don't want to go be sad about Game of fucking Thrones.
Yeah. I think it could have benefited from another 4 episodes.
But. Yes. To pivot back to a happier note before we end the episode, in lieu of sort of final thoughts, Lainey, is there something that we haven't talked about yet that you would love to share with people? Anybody who's listened to this and is like, wow, Lainey has tastes that's like my taste. I love the things that Lainey loves. What is something else, book, movie, TV show, whatever, something else that you would recommend?
So there's this show that I really love that's a Hulu original, and the third season premieres in the next couple weeks, and that's going to be Harlots. It's so good. It takes place in England, and it's about rivaling brothel houses in like the 18th century. So it's just, it's so good. And then Elfie Allen has joined the cast for the third season. Liv Tyler joined the cast for the second season. It's just like so good, and it's so funny, and I love it.
Well, there you have it. If Lainey's media soulmates are listening. Yep. Harlots on Hulu. And with that, we are going to end this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much to Lainey for letting us grill her about all of her media opinions. And thank you to all of you for listening. If you are enjoying this podcast, we would love and appreciate it if you joined our community on Patreon, where we've got bonus content and polls, and you can access our Discord to talk about all of this some more. You can find out more information at patreon.com/snarksquad. There will also be a post dedicated to this episode up on snarksquad.com, where you can share your thoughts with us, or you can find us on Twitter at snark_squad. I am at Sweeney Says.
You can find me at My Name is Marines.
You can find me at Read Along Lainey.
Thank you, as always, to Stefan Jin for the delightful theme music that is playing us out right now, and we will be back in your podcast feed again next week. Bye.
Bye.